Colin pulled into a rest stop near Paducah, Kentucky, around 3 in the morning, leaned his seat back until it pressed against Tassin's legs in the back seat, and slept. Some 4 hours later, he awoke. Tassin was kicking him through the seat. "Kafir, I'm paralyzed back here. Lean that shit forward, I gotta pray." He'd been dreaming his memories of Catherine. Colin reached down and pulled the lever, his seat snapping forward. "Fuck," Tassin said. "Did something die in my throat last night?" I'm sleeping because my mouth tastes like an open grave. Did you pack any toothpaste?" "There's a word for that, actually. Fetor hepaticus. It happens during late "Not interesting," said Tassin, which is what he said whenever Colin started going off on a random tangent. "Toothpaste?" "Toiletry kit and the duffel in the trunk," Colin answered. Tassin slammed the door behind him, then slammed the trunk shut a few minutes later. As Colin wiped the sleep from his eyes, he figured he might as well wake up. While Tassin knelt on the concrete outside, facing Mecca, Colin went to the bathroom. The graffiti on the stall read, "Call Dana for blow." Colin wondered whether Dana provided fellatio or cocaine, and then, for the first time since he'd been lying motionless on the carpet of his bedroom, he indulged his greatest passion. He anagrammed, "Call Dana for blow, ballad for a clown." He walked out into the warmth of Kentucky and sat down on one of the picnic tables across from Tassin, who seemed to be attacking the pet table with a pen with a pocket knife attached to his keychain. "What are you doing?" Colin folded his arms on the table, then put his head down. "Well, while you were in the bathroom, I sat down at this picnic table here in Bumblefug, Kentucky, and noticed that someone had carved 'God hates fag,' which, aside from being a grammatical nightmare, is absolutely ridiculous. So I'm changing it to 'God hates baguettes.' It's tough to disagree with that. Everybody hates baguettes." "J'aime les baguettes," Colin muttered. "Lots of stupid crap." While Tassin worked to make 'God hates baguettes,' Colin's mind raced like this. 1, baguettes. 2, Catherine 19. 3, the ruby necklace he'd bought her 5 months and 17 days before. 4, most rubies come from India, which 5, used to be under the control of the United Kingdom, of which 6, Winston Churchill was the Prime Minister. And 7, isn't it interesting how lots of good politicians like Churchill and Gandhi were bald, while 8, lots of evil dictators like Hitler and Stalin and Saddam Hussein were mustachioed. But 9, Mussolini only wore a mustache sometimes, and 10, lots of good scientists have mustaches, like the Italian Ruggero Oddi, who 11, discovered and named for himself the intestinal tract sphincter of Oddi, which is just one of several lesser-known sphincters, like 12, the pupillary sphincter. And speaking of that, which, when Tassin Harbish showed up at Carmen School in 10th grade, after a decade of homeschooling, he was plenty smart, albeit not prodigiously so. That fall, he was in Calculus 1 with Colin, who was a 9th grader. But they never spoke, because Colin had given up on pursuing friendships with individuals not named Catherine. He hated almost all students at Colman, which was just as well, since by and large they hated him back. About 2 weeks into class, Colin raised his hand and Mrs. Sorenstein said, "Yes, Colin." Colin was holding his hand underneath his glasses, against his left eye in obvious discomfort. "May I be excused for a moment?" he asked. "Is it important?" "I think I have an eyelash in my pupillary sphincter," replied Colin, and the class erupted into laughter. Miss Sorenstein sent him on his way, and then Colin went into the bathroom, and staring in the mirror, plucked the eyelash from his eye, where the pupillary sphincter is located. After class, Tassin found Colin eating a peanut butter and no jelly sandwich on the wide stone staircase at the back of the school's back entrance. "Look," Tassin said, "this is my 9th day at a school in my entire life, and yet somehow I have already grasped what you can and cannot say, and you cannot say anything about your own sphincter." "It's part of your eye," Colin said defensively. "I was being clever." "Listen, dude, you gotta know your audience. That bit would kill at an ophthalmologist convention, but in calculus class, everybody's just wondering how the hell you got an eyelash there. And so they were friends. I've got to say, I don't think much of Kentucky, Hassan said. Colin tilted his head up, resting his chin on his arms. He scanned the rest stop parking lot for a moment. His missing piece was nowhere to be found. Everything here reminds me of her, too. We used to talk about going to Paris. I mean, I don't even want to go to Paris. I just keep imagining how excited she'd be at the Louvre. We'd go to great restaurants and maybe drink red wine. We'd even looked for hotels on the web. We could have done it on the Cranial Kids' money. Dude, if Kentucky's going to remind you of Paris, we're in a hell of a pickle. Colin sat up and looked across at the poorly kept lawn of the rest stop. Then he looked down at Hassan's clever handiwork. Baguettes, Colin explained. Oh my God, give me the keys. Colin reached into his pocket and tossed the keys lazily across the picnic table. Hassan snatched them as he stood and then made his way to Satan's hearse. Colin followed forlorn. 40 miles down the road, still in Kentucky, Colin had curled up against the passenger window and was starting to fall asleep when Hassan announced, "World's largest crucifix, next exit." "We're not stopping to see the world's largest wooden crucifix." "We shit sure are," Hassan said. "It must be huge." "Hass, why would we stop and see the world's largest wooden crucifix?" "It's a road trip. It's about adventure." Hassan pounded on the steering wheel to emphasize his excitement. "It's not like we have to somewhere to go. Do you really want to die having never seen the world's largest wooden crucifix?" Colin thought it over. "Yes. First off, neither of us is Christian. Second off, spending the summer chasing after idiotic roadside attractions is not going to fix anything. Third off, crucifixes remind me of her." "Of who?" "Of her. Kafir, she was an atheist." "Not always," Colin said softly. "She used to wear one a long time ago, before we dated." He stared out of the window, pine trees rushing past. His immaculate memory called forth the silver crucifix. "Your sits pinkling disgusts me, Hassan said, but he gave the hearse some extra gas and shot past the exit.